Do y'all have conversations with flesh? Come on, you're not about to give tithes and offerings to flesh. Don't do that. You're like, there's a 20, there's a 5, there's a 10, there's a 1. Come on. And flesh says, don't give the 20 because you're going to go out to lunch after church today. And then you're gonna have to go home and eat bologna again if you give the... Come on.
Come on.
Hello? Those who set their minds on things of the flesh are those who live after the flesh. But that's not us. We're spirit people. We pray, God, what am I to give today? God, who am I to serve today? God, where do I fit in the body of Christ? And then, God, let me serve. Because every time I give and every time I serve and every time I pray, every time I read my Bible, I become more like you. And I build my spirit man up. And you guys know when your spirit person is built up, it's easier to obey God and do the things he calls you to do, right? Oh, come on now. Oh, but I start to see, where'd them glasses go? But store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, where's your treasure? See, where's your focus? Because wherever your treasure is, wherever your focus is, that's where your heart's going to be. Can I set somebody free today? God does not need, nor does he want your money.
That's right. Come on.
Why does God need your money? Doesn't need it. He wants you. He wants your heart. But he knows your heart follows your treasure. Your heart going to follow your focus. If you're not sowing into the kingdom of God, I guarantee you, because God said it, your heart will not be after the things of God because there's no investment.
Come on now.
If you invest in the stock market, my son helps people do that. If you need any help doing that, I mean, no, you check it.
Yeah, come on.
If you got some stocks, you're checking it. You're looking at the NASDAQ. You're looking at the Dow Jones. It's up. Oh, it's down. Oh, better call Kim. It's up again. But you know, if you're not invested there, you don't care. If you're not invested there, you don't care. Hello? God doesn't want, nor does he need your money. God wants you. And he knows until he has your money, until you can say, God, everything that I have is yours. God, my life, my everything, God. Then God's like, yep, I got him. Do you remember Abraham? Do you remember Abraham? God gave him a promise that his family would be like the sand on the seashore. He was an old man, had no kids. God, I don't understand this. But the Bible says, against all hope, he believed that it was possible with God. And at some point, when he was close to 100, and his wife somewhere around there, they conceived and had a boy. The Bible goes on to tell us that sometime later, God came to Abraham and said, I need you to do something for me. I need you to take your son, your only son Isaac, up to Mount Moriah, and I need you to offer him as a sacrifice. Now, I think we get this picture of Isaac maybe being 7 or 8 or something like that, but most theologians believe Isaac was like 30.
Yeah, come on.
So I want you to think about this for a second. I want you to think about waiting. I don't know how long he waited up to he was almost 100 years old before he had his first child. And then after he had his first child, and then he's 30, right? And God says, I'm going to need you to... God saying, I need to know, Abraham, do I have you? God didn't need Isaac. Come on. Just like God doesn't need your money. But occasionally, to see where our heart's at, God will ask us for the very thing he promised us. And sometimes we can't do it. And we fail the test. And then God knows, I don't got them. And look, he wants to use each and every one of us. But if he don't have your heart, he's not going to risk the assignment that he has for you. He's got to know. He's got to know. And you know, the Bible says that he didn't even hesitate. He didn't even hesitate. Now, my thought is, what the heck was Isaac thinking? Because we know in the story, Isaac said, Dad, we've got the wood, and Dad, we've got the fire, but where's the sacrifice? God's going to provide, son. It's getting weird, Dad. It's getting... I can't help but think of what a wonderful example Abraham must have set for Isaac. For Isaac to, again, this was not a 7-year-old child. This was a 30-year-old and a 100-year-old. I would almost guess that a 30-year-old could have overpowered. I know, how old are you now? 20, 25. I don't even, these guys got to a certain point, I just stopped wrestling. Right? His little brother is in the sound booth and he's 200 pounds. I don't wrestle them anymore. I could just picture me trying, come on, Cameron, let's go to the mountain. Come on, Kasen, we're going to go worship. And like, And I'm like, come here, we're going to play this game. I'm going to tie your hands and your feet. And they're going to be like, no, you're not. And I probably wouldn't be able to, even if I tried. But I can't even imagine. We're going to have, at least me, I'd love to have that conversation with Isaac when we get to heaven. And be like, what was that all about? What was that like? Did you just trust God enough also to know that God was going to provide the sacrifice? What are we focused on? See, as sons and daughters of God, we're supposed to be focused on the things of the Spirit. We have to ask ourselves, what consumes our thoughts? Is it just worry? Is it anxiety? Is it those things? Because if it is, we're living after the flesh. We're not living after the Spirit. We've got to learn to keep our eyes. There will always be distractions. Pastor God, there's just so much going on right now. I know there will always be things going on, and there will be more and more and more and more and more and more and more things to distract us as time goes on. It's not going to be less. I'm just going to tell you, it's going to be more. So you got to learn to stay focused now. Because God has a plan for you. God has some great things in store for you. But you got to stay focused. Come on. Well, I mean, we're without a doubt experiencing some epic changes. But I think these changes that we're experiencing right now in the world have the potential to produce some of the greatest growth we've ever seen in our history. You got to stay focused. Mark chapter 2, verse 22. Mark chapter 2, verse 22, a very familiar passage of Scripture that Jesus gives here. He said, no one pours new wine into an old wineskin. We understand what a wineskin is. You know, canteens and those things back in the day were made out of skins or animal bladders or something like that with an end. And if you left it out in the sun and then the leather got, or the skin got dry, then it gets cracked and it gets brittle and you can't use it. You can't use it. That's why he said nobody puts new wine into old wineskins, because the wine will burst the skins and both the wine and the wineskin will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. Look at your neighbor and say, new wineskins. We talk about God, send the new wine, and God, we want revival. God, we want to be more like you. And God's like, but I need a new wineskin because I can't pour into you what I've got right now in your previous condition. Yeah, focus. Listen, God is a planner, and God is not wasteful. And when we pray for revival and we pray God bless us and we pray God grow us, God says, okay. The Bible also says this, the answers of God are yes and amen. So when you pray, God bless me, God increase me, God make your face shine on me, God says, okay, but it's going to require some things of you. It's going to require that you become a new wineskin. It's going to require that you operate differently than you've operated in the past, because God can't pour new wine into an old wineskin. Come on, are you listening to me? Everybody say focus. Who wants to see revival? Who wants to see, life transformation? That's our vision, right? All that is going to require great change. And change is difficult. That's why we got to stay focused. Woo! This is painful, Pastor Scott. I know, but you got to stay focused on the end result. You said you want revival. You said you want to be more like Christ. Jesus' answer says yes and amen. So I'm going to make you more like me, but your current container can't hold the new wine that I want to give you for this new season. So you got to change some things. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, the way that you make a new wineskin is you take an old one down to the river, you dunk it in the water several times, then you beat it on the rock, and then you rub some oil in it. Doesn't that sound fun? See, I guess we think God's some genie in a magic lamp. And we say, God, I want revival. And God, I want to be more like you. And God's like, okay, poof. And you're just more like Jesus. Got sandals and long hair and a beard and a robe and stuff like that. And you're like, yeah. Finger gunning everybody, casting out devils, right? Stuff like that. And that's not how it works. Because you wouldn't appreciate it. You wouldn't steward it well if that's how you got it. Come on. And God's not wanting a bunch of spoiled brats. God's wanting some mature sons and daughters. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Come on. Hey, focus. There was a baby crying. I know. Focus. There's going to be baby crying. Oh, yeah. Great example, right? What was that? It was a baby. They're all over the place. Got to focus. Change is difficult for most of us. Come on, let's be honest.
Come on.
I want new wine, but I don't want to change.
Come on.
I want revival, but I don't want to change.
Come on.
Just like Peter walking on the water, we have to keep our eyes on him during the change because it's going to get rough.
Yeah, come on.
We pray for revival. Did you know that after the Holy Spirit came in the book of Acts, God told them to go in all the world, but they didn't? Do you know what happened? Persecution came in the church that forced them to go. God's like, I told you to go. I gave you my Spirit. I told you to prepare. I told you to focus. I told you to get ready. See, listen, God's plan is going to happen. And so we got to stay focused. Listen, do you think for a moment that maybe some of the things that are going on in the world right now that we've got so comfortable?
Come on.
See, the mission's still the same. Go with the good news. Y'all remember that from last week? But some of us are comfortable in our homes and we're comfortable on our jobs and we're comfortable where we're at and we ain't going nowhere. Right? It's like Macho Man Randy Savage, right? You going nowhere. Anybody remember that? Back in the WWF wrestling days, anybody? Okay, there's a couple rednecks in the house. All right. We're so comfortable, but our actions aren't lining up with our prayers.
Come on, think about it.
We got to participate with God.
Come on.
But change is difficult. I don't want to change. I want the new wine, but I don't want to change. Guess what? You ain't gonna get the new wine. What's God waiting on, Pastor Scott? You? He's waiting on you. And he's waiting on me to make the necessary changes that we need to make. And they're not always huge. Oh, what's God want me to do, Pastor Scott? I'm going to change everything? No. So we make such a big deal about it because we try to convince God, well, I just can't change everything. God's like, well, I didn't ask you to change everything.
Come
I just asked you to start reading the Bible every morning for 5 minutes.
Come on.
Well, like people can do that. Well, was there a post on Facebook the other day that says, does people really make their bed after they get up in the morning, or is that just a... My wife makes our bed. I, for 31 years, I've been like, why you make the bed? We're going to get right back in it later. So I like for it to be pretty. I like for it to be pretty. Put all the 27 pillows out there. And then at night, are you tired? You fell asleep on the couch. You get, I can't even get in bed. One, two, three, four, five. I just want to go to bed. We want the new wine, but we don't want to change. Because, see, God knows it's going to get rough, so we got to focus. Come on. Let me try to wrap this up. 2 weeks ago, we moved into a new house. Everybody say change.
Change.
People say, oh, are you excited? So excited, in a new place. I'm like, yeah, I got a couch. It's the only piece of furniture in the whole house. Because we have different stuff ordered, it just hadn't come because of stupid COVID stuff. It's supposed to be there already. Oh, it's behind, it's late, it's been delayed. You so excited? Not really. Because I like, you know, I used to have a table at my old house to eat at. End tables to put my drink on, you know, stuff, a fenced in yard to let the dog out in. You know, when you change and when you move, you lose stuff. I've been looking for this one folder I've had. I mean, this is an accumulation of like 25 years of stuff. I can't find it anywhere. I'm a little, I don't know what I am, but I'm upset that I can't find it. I'm like, ugh, I'm not settled. Listen, and none of us want to live that way, but change will require that for a season.
Come on.
Things I still haven't found yet. You know what else? When you change, everybody doesn't come with you. When you decide to grow and go to the next level, you can't take everybody with you. Come on. Some people don't want to change. Some people, did you know that of the 12 tribes of Israel, there was 2.5 tribes that said they want to stay over on this side of the Jordan? Nah, we're fine here. Even with God's people then. My daughter came to us a few weeks before we moved. She said, I'm planning on, you know, getting my own place. I'm like, well, you're 20 some odd years old. It's probably time. And then we ended up getting this new house. And she said, well, I'll just, if it's okay, why don't I just stay here and rent this one? I was like, yeah, that's fine. But it's been different. Because I've had my daughter living with me for 23 years. And now she's not there every day. That's not fun. I mean, it's probably a lot more fun for her. It's not as fun for her dad and her mom and her brother probably. Come on. You can't take everybody with you sometimes when you change, when you move, when you grow. But it's necessary if we all want to grow, right? I mean, what kind of father would I be? It's like, no, you can't stay. You can't do that. You got to stay here with us. That's not going to encourage her personal growth and development. That could stunt it. And our Father God don't want us to encounter stunted growth and development either. So He puts us in situations where we have to change and grow. Come on. You got to embrace new routines. I could mow my old yard and trim it and edge it in 45 minutes. Takes a good 2.5 hours now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. My mom, she was asking, we were driving out to the new house. She said, why you want to live in the country again? I said, because I like to drive and I like to mow. And I like to, I don't know what all I said, you know, but new routines. Listen, I'm kind of a creature of habit. I got my routines. I get up at a certain time. I go drink my coffee. I take my little aspirin that I've had to take ever since the stupid heart attack every morning. Hello? And then I get in the Word for a little bit, and then I get ready, and then I got my routine, and then when I come home and I do this. But when you move, that all gets messed up. How long has it been since some of you moved? Because now I can't even find my way in a dark bedroom. You know, you used to be able to get up and go to the bathroom at 2 o'clock in the morning and just be like, kind of feel your way through the doors and stuff, right? Without stumping that toe or something like that and waking everybody in the house up. Now I'm just like, kaboom, you know, it's like bumper cars. I'm like, where the crap am I? Where's the light switch? Which light switch? Turn the light switch on to the lights outside or whatever. And I'm like, I'm about to go outside and use the bathroom. If I can't find out where... Listen, I'm trying to make this funny because it's necessary. I'm trying to, if you'll just laugh, you'll open up a little bit. Maybe some of this will get in there. I don't want to do that, so I'm not changing. I don't want new routines. I don't want all this. No, I'm just happy where I'm at. Then stop asking God for revival. Stop asking God to grow you. Because if you want growth, if you want revival, you got to change. You got to focus. Because it's not always going to be easy. Oh, have you had fun? Isn't it peaceful and quiet out there? No. I mean, it is, but I've just been working. Working the whole time I've been out there. New structures. You got to build new structures when you grow. We got Casey has a 50-pound dog. Like I said, here we had a backyard. You want to go outside? Go outside. Now we got 5 acres, and there's cows across the street and across the other street and across the other street. Can't just turn the dog out there who's never seen a cow. Because number one, I don't want the dog hurt. But number two, I want the neighbors, the newness, to like me. I don't want my dog chasing their cows and getting twisted up in the barbed wire fence and causing problems and stuff like that. I'm like, we got to build a new structure. We got to build a fence to keep this dog in. Because if you leave her in the house, she chews on stuff because she's a puppy. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I just wanted to move to the country and sit in a chair on the porch and just rock back and forth a little bit, listen to the birds sing. Watch the grandkids run around, push them in a tire swing. Some of y'all, listen, that's your picture of where you want to be, but you had a brain. You didn't realize you're going to have to work to get, you didn't realize some of this stuff was going to happen to get you to that place. You're going to encounter new people. Simeon was like, I know my neighbors right now. They know me. It's all good. Now you got new neighbors. New neighbors coming by. How you doing? I'm good. What do you want? Who are you? Is that your 50-pound dog? Yes, it is. Those your cows? Here's my cell phone number. This is just in case. Just in case. Just in case. That's why we got to remain focused. God has new levels for each. The Bible says very clearly that we move from level to level to glory to glory. God's desire is that we not remain the same. If you're the same in your relationship with God as you were 5 years ago or 10 years ago, that's not faithfulness, that's stagnation. We should be growing. You should know more about God today than you did yesterday or last year or 5 years ago. You should be closer to Him today than you were 5 years ago. Hello? If you weren't tithing 5 years ago, you should be today. If you weren't serving 5 years ago, you should be today. Those are all things. Pastor Scott, that requires things of me. Yes, because God's not a genie. There's a participation there. But there's a payoff. If we stay focused, you do get the growth. You do get the revival. You do get the new. You do get the change. And it's so much sweeter than if it had just been handed to you on a silver platter. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Stand up to your feet this morning. You stay focused. I heard Ron and Brenda, you guys are celebrating or just celebrated 45 years of marriage. Is that right? Has anything changed in 45 years? Both still smiling. Congratulations. Do you love each other more today than you did 45 years ago? See, I always thought that's interesting. Because when, you know, Pastor Mark Quinn and I have been married 31 years, well, next week. And, you know, you think when you're standing up there, you're like, oh, I couldn't love this person more right now. But you grow and change, and the love grows and changes. It matures. It develops. It gets stronger. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And oh, it's and you can say 45 years later, man, it's better now. It's sweeter now. It's stronger now. And that's what we want with our relationship with Jesus. That's going to require some focus because has it been always easy for 45 years? Has it been a walk in the park? There's going to be rough patches. There's going to be peaks and valleys. That's why we got to stay focused. Right? Because the long haul, the end goal, is that we're becoming more and more and more like Him. And that's what we ultimately want because we're spirit people. Right? Does that make sense? So we have to keep our focus. I believe this is going to be a time of great change for the church. I've been meeting with pastors literally all over the world over the last couple of months via Zoom and different things, and we're getting to hear from England and, you know, and different parts of the UK and Africa and different things that are just, you know, what's it look like there? What's things going here? How, what? And the consensus seems to be that this is an epoch season. This is a time that things are changing, and we all keep saying, man, I just want things to go back to normal. I honestly don't know if they will. I honestly don't know if they will. Which is why, let's say it one last time before we pray, which is why we have to stay focused. Because guess what? Shaw, I said, where's he at? He's like 7 feet tall. He's right there. He's got his pilot's license and those things. And I mentioned that I took one lesson and got sick. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, well, you got to keep your eyes on the horizon. I'm like, well, thanks, Copernicus. Yeah, I didn't know that was the answer. I know that's all I had to do. But what they were trying to do gracefully is tell me, focus on something that doesn't really change. You know, the Bible says that our Lord God changes not. So if we're in a situation, if we're on a planet that's rocking and reeling and changing dramatically every day, you better keep your eyes on something that doesn't change. And the only thing I am aware of that does not change, has never changed, will ever change, is God. And so we can't go wrong when we keep focused on Him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these beautiful people, spirit people who are staying focused on you. God, remind them regularly that you have great plans for them, plans to pour in new wine, new oil, God, all those things. But all those things are going to require some change from us. And that change is going to require us to keep focused on you. So, Father, you've got so many great things planned for us and better places for us. We look forward to those things as we change and grow and stay focused in you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Shake somebody's hand, hug their neck, tell them Jesus loves them.